praise God. This is October 31st, Sunday morning, and we're turning to Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading verse 9. And the last couple of messages, I hear a question. Last Sunday, it was, why do we do what we do? And this morning, I heard this question in my spirit. And it's verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Question mark. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Question mark. So the Lord is asking a question here through the prophet Isaiah. Whom shall the Lord teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then he answers the question. This is the ones that he's going to teach knowledge to. And these are the ones he will teach understanding to. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. But whom will the Lord teach knowledge? Whom will the Lord teach? Do you know you can't take a baby in your arms, nursing your breast, and teach them very much, can you? Because they're concentrated on one thing. They're only concentrated on one thing, satisfying their little bellies. It's more or less an instinct to nurse. It's an instinct to take the milk. It's just something that's automatically a part of our makeup as a baby. A survival instinct, basically. So that's not a time to begin to sit down and teach a child or teach anybody anything. You can't teach a baby. Can't teach a baby very much. But as the baby starts drawing from the breast, as the baby stops being so nurturing needy, that's a good word. You ever notice how nurturing needy some babies are? They want to just hang right on and clingy. Well, this baby that's just talking about here, this is the question. I've been a Christian a long time. Most of us in here have been Christians a long time. And did you ever just wonder, where did you get what you got? How did you get what you have? Why are you where you are today? There's a reason you know what you know today. There's a reason you have understanding of doctrine today. I'm talking sound doctrine. Because there are people that's all way off in left field and all kinds of wild doctrine. But I'm talking about the doctrine the Lord teaches you. I'm talking about the doctrine that the Lord gives you. The knowledge he gives you. It comes from God. This is what I felt and heard in my spirit this morning. Especially when we were worshiping the Lord. If you notice the first two, all three songs had to do with teaching, learning. I want one thing in my life, and that is to give God glory. One thing. That's the number one thing in my life, is to give him glory for my life on this earth. That's the main goal. It's so I can give him glory with my existence here on this earth. The air that I breathe, the way that I talk, the way that I look, the way that I do anything, I want it all to bring him glory. Do you reckon God will teach somebody like that? That puts him first? Do you reckon God wants to teach somebody who wants to give him glory? Knowledge? Do you think he's all about helping me understand some things if I'm all about him? Do you think he's interested in getting over some doctrine to me? Because seeing how I'm just interested in giving him glory with my life? Do you know I know, the more glory he can get out of me? The more understanding I have, the more glory he can get out of me? Is that good? God wants to get all the good out of you that he can get? Do you know God wants to get all the good out of me that he can get? And I just present myself to the Lord. You know, I just present myself to him. I said, Lord, here I am. What's there is of me to present to you? Here it is. Here's what you got. You know, if I look in the mirror, I don't feel like I've given him too much. But I say he sees a different way than I see. He has different eyes when he looks at you than what you see when you look in the mirror. He doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He doesn't think about you the way you think about yourself. He sees you with different eyes, different plans, different purposes. You see, he sees a way off in your future. If you'll just let him teach you knowledge, if you'll let him teach you understanding of doctrine, if you'll be drawn from the milk and quit being a wah-wah baby and wanting all the time, being like a little nurturing, you know, babies are just so needy. They just cling and needy. Get away from all that. Get your mind off of you and begin to give him glory. Say, Lord, I just want to be drawn from the milk, be drawn from the breast, and I want to stand up like a man. I want to stand up like a whole person. I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. I want to know how to walk. He's wanting to teach us his ways. His ways are so much above our ways. The word says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts? So how can I possibly think like him if all I'm thinking about is getting all the milk I can get and get all, you know, hanging on to the breast? We can relate to the baby here. The baby Christian is really hard to teach them anything because they're babies. The baby Christian is all about them. The baby Christian is not about giving God glory, giving him honor, and presenting themselves before the Lord and saying, here I am. What can I do? What can you do with me to give you glory in this earth? What kind of good can you get out of me? And that's exactly the ones the Lord will teach knowledge. Those are the ones that he will teach the understanding of doctrine. Now, when you talk about doctrine, well, yep, there's doctrine in the earth. There is all kinds of doctrine, but we're talking God's doctrine. Covenant doctrine. Doctrine that is going to be everlasting doctrine. Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I told y'all I ain't going to be very long, but I'm letting the Lord lead here. 13. This is the love chapter. When you read about the love and the qualities and the attributes of love, it starts talking here about chapter 13, verse 4. Let's start with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. That sounds like somebody drawn from the breast, doesn't it? Weaned from the milk and weaned from the breast. Is not easily provoked. That doesn't sound like a baby. Babies are so easily irritated and agitated. Children, young children are so easily irritated. They don't have a lot of attention span. It's hard to get them to sit down for 5 minutes in a classroom and really teach them anything because their attention span is so short. And it says, it thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, if I come along and tell you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, a baby might not believe that. But a mature believer is going to believe what the Word says about them and accept it and eat it. Babies can't just eat anything. Babies only can suck on milk or suck on a breast. But someone who's been pulled away and finally ready to eat and chomp down on some nourishment that's really sustainable, they're going to accept the word of God as their word, and they're going to believe it. So he believeth all things means that when you read the word of God, that love of God that's in you, it's going to give you the ability to believe whatever God says about you. If he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, if he says you're the apple of his eye, if he says he's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again, you will believe that. I've just come to a place in my relationship with him that I believe whatever he says about me. I believe his word to me. That's part of being taught. Being unteachable, you cannot teach somebody who's unteachable. You have to learn to believe all things. And all things are the things that he has said about you. If he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, then you just believe all things that he has said. Because he wants to teach you some wisdom, some knowledge, and some understanding. He wants to get doctrine over to us. And it's about time we put us on the side shelf, put us aside, and start realizing everything that God has said about me is as true as if he said it to me personally. His word is true to me. Did you know there's not a hair on your head, but he knows it all? He knows every hair it's numbered. He knows every thought you think because he knows it afar off, and there's not a word in your mouth, but he knows it all together. I believe all things. It's because that love of God that's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost gives me the ability to believe. You say, well, I just can't believe. I just have a hard time with my faith. Well, believe me, God says the love will give you the grace, the ability to believe all things. That's what love does. Love believeth all things. You got to believe to be able to be taught. You got to be teachable. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. You know, the thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you're going to be one that's set aside to give God glory with your life, you're going to have to learn how to endure all things. And it's the love of God that gives us the grace to endure some hard times in our lives. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I used to take my shoes off, and there was times I loved to walk through the fields of grass, and it was easy to walk on those fields. But when I got home, I had a bunch of gravel to walk through, and I went barefooted most of my life, but I learned how to get my feet toughened up. There's something about running all summer long as a child. Your feet get toughened up, and your feet get hard. Your roots, your soles of your feet will get tough, will get strong. And you can run through those gravels. When I was a kid, I used to run through gravels, and it didn't even bother me because I learned how to endure that. My feet got tough. You see, enduring is something you learn. It's a taught thing. You learn to be enduring, but the love is what gives you the ability to do this. Endure all things. I'm telling you, we can endure anything with Him. I can do all things through Christ, as we were talking about this morning. You really can do all things that you're supposed to do. And that's what He says. Love will help you endure all things. Hope all things, endure all things. Charity never faileth. Love never faileth. Now, I went through a problem a while back, and someone said, you know what? Love never faileth. Does God love us? Does God love us? Well, God can never fail. God is love. The Word says God is love and God can never fail. God's love is unchangeable and it is everything He just said here. The question was, who will the Lord teach? Who will the Lord make to understand knowledge and understand doctrine? Who will the Lord teach? Well, first of all, you've got to be teachable. But the very first thing He answered that question was, you got to be drawn from the milk and drawn from the breast. And basically, it's exactly what I started out talking about. It's got to stop being about us. Life cannot be all about us anymore. It's got to be about giving Him glory. That's the ones who can give Him glory when He's the one. That's the ones who can really give Him glory, the ones who know about Him. You cannot teach somebody anything about Jesus, or you cannot be an example to anyone and live the Christian life until you know Him. You know, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Is that not what it says in the Word? He went about doing good. He was an example of somebody who went about doing good. But He also was a teacher. Everywhere He went, He set the multitude down and He taught the people. He taught, saying, over and over. It says He taught. But then He always added, if you have ears to hear, take heed how you hear. For with what measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. You have to hear with the right ears. But if you don't have an ear to hear, that means you're not teachable. Let's look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there are prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You put away the milk. You put away the breast. You put away whining about every little thing that comes along. You put away, you know, you just know this will pass. This too will pass. This will not always be the way it is right now. You learn to look at situations in life and you say, you look at it from an adult perspective. You've learned how to trust God. You're walking in some higher educated things. You're not walking as a wah-wah baby in a mother's arms anymore, wanting to be nurtured and babied all the time and petted and caressed all the time. You're now a full-grown believer who knows how to pull the sword of the Spirit out, who knows how to put the devil on the run, who knows how to pray effectively. You've been taught some things. You have now knowledge about the things of the kingdom of heaven. You now have knowledge about the love of God because you know love never fails. You are believing all things. You possess all things. All things are yours, he says in one place. You know, I love what Paul said in Philippians. And he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians is a real good place to go real quick here. Let's go to Philippians. Because God has promised in Philippians many promises. And one of the things I always leaned on, and I still lean on, is that he said, I do this one thing, Paul said. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if in anything I be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto me. That is one of those I believeth that thing. I believe that. If my attitude is bad, if I've got stinky thinking in an area of my life, He's going to show me that. He's going to let me know. You know, you got to correct something here. And let Him teach me how to think right. Let Him teach me how to believe right. Let Him teach me how to walk in the things that He's provided for me. And just let the Lord teach you. He wants to teach you. We are supposed to be taught. And we'll never, ever get old enough and big enough in things that we think we've got it all down. Because as soon as you think you're something, the Bible says that's when you're nothing. A man, when he thinks he's something, that's when he's nothing. That's what the Bible says. And let him that think that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Does it not say that? I believe that. You know, I've just come to believe that God knows way more than I do. And I've learned to trust Him. I've just learned to believe. Look at Philippians chapter 1. We're going to a few places here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm just going to bounce around a few verses here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's going to be some teaching going on. There's going to be some lessons learned. There's going to be things you don't know right now that I'll guarantee you, if you'll present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to teach me knowledge. I want you to teach me and make me to understand doctrine. I'll guarantee you He will open up His hand of knowledge and bring revelation to you and wisdom to you, so you will know how to live an abiding kind of life that gives Him glory every day of your life. And you'll have peace that is past like a peace like a river. It'll pass all understanding, that peace. Even in the middle of a situation you don't know what to do with, God will give you wisdom. Doesn't it say in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally? You know, there's just the biggest lie the devil ever told me was that your situation is unique. You're special. You're the biggest mess. God never had a mess like you. God never had anybody like you to deal with. You know, you're just way too complicated for God to even get to. And you know what? If I had listened to that lie with all the emotions involved in that, I would have been right back there 25 years ago in the level of knowledge I had back then as a baby Christian. I would have been stuck right there on the breast. I think that's where a lot of people are. They get stuck on the breast and they do not want to venture out into things and the deeper things of God. So He can't teach them any knowledge. He can't teach them any doctrine. He can't give them understanding of the deeper things of God because they're too comfortable stuck on the breast. It's just too easy. It's easier to stay there. Well, really and truly, it's harder to stay right there, a baby. You know, there really is a problem when you do not know how to have victory in your life, when you're oppressed all the time and you're sad all the time and you're up and you're down. That's why it says that we're supposed to get wisdom. But be not like the wave driven of the wind, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because wisdom will give you stability. It has given me stability in my life. Because I've learned not to go by my feelings. I do not go by how I feel. In fact, when the big old feeling come along, there's a big white flag gets in front of my face, or a big red flag, and I say, uh-oh, I can smell the devil here. When I start feeling something, I start having an emotional attack. There's a part of my spirit man that raises up and said, the devil's working on you. The devil's working on you. Because this isn't God. God doesn't bring me negative feelings. What does God bring me? He bringeth me believeth all things, endureth all things, hopeth all things. That's all He is about. That's what He teaches me. So being confident of this very thing in chapter 1 of verse 6 of Philippians, I'm confident of this. I'm absolutely sure that He began a good work. He started teaching me about the things of the kingdom of heaven. And He's not dropped me yet. And He never will drop me. He's still teaching me things. And actually, I appreciate every trial, every problem, every situation that comes into my life. It just gives me an opportunity to learn something. I'm going to learn a new lesson. I'm going to learn a new thing. I'm going to learn how to walk a different way than I've ever walked in the things of the kingdom of God. You begin to look at life as a challenge instead of just a big old mess. It's a challenge to serve God. It's the greatest challenge of a human being's a life. There is no greater life to live than to live to give Him glory. I live to give Him glory every day I live. It's all about Him. It's not about me anymore, because now my eyeballs are looking at, not at me anymore. They're looking at Him. Looking to my eternity. One life to live and soon will pass. Only those things done for Christ will last. That is not even a scripture, but that's a truth. What is your life? James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It appears for a short time, then it vanisheth away. You see, I've allowed the Holy Spirit to teach me, because I definitely needed it, and I still need it. I need to be taught. Who will the Lord teach? Here, Lord. Look at here. I need it. I need to be taught. Well, then you got to be drawn from the breast, drawn from the milk. Got to get weaned. Oh, I don't like being weaned. You ought to know how it is to be weaned. You got them babies to wean, and they bawl, and they cry, and they just squall, and they go through trauma, emotional trauma, because you got nothing to hang on to. You know, walking by faith is like that. Walking by faith, and that's what it says in Habakkuk, the just shall live by their faith. Says it in Romans, says it in Galatians, and it says it in Hebrews. We got four witnesses, four prophetic witnesses that the just, there's no other way. We got to live by faith. We got to do what charity says it does. Charity causes us, the love of God in us, will cause us to live by faith. I hope all things, I believe all things, because faith, the love will never fail, and faith works by love. You know, so it's a whole different way of life. No wonder people look at us like we're quite strange. Because we've been taught something they have never been taught. They cannot teach it. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man. They cannot receive it if they wanted to, because it's spiritually discerned. So I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. There's that love factor. You got to love God. We already know God loves us. Look what Jesus went through. The love of God then begins to be shed abroad in our hearts. As we receive more and more, you know what I see in you? I see some of the clutter getting taken out of the room. I saw, when you said what you did this morning, Nancy, I saw a room that had was just full of clutter. I mean, you had, like, you ever see a pack rat? Somebody that just saves everything, it's afraid to get rid of anything, that just wants more and more and fill, you know, I've just seen people do that. And just no housekeeping going on. I see housekeeping going on right now in your life. I see some clutter, things that you say, you're looking at things, you say, well, I don't need that, out the door that goes. If I haven't worn a dress or an outfit in 2 years, you know what happens to that outfit? It gets sent to Goodwill, or I give it away to somebody. If I have a piece of furniture that I never sat in, I'm useless, I get rid of it. I keep a pretty tidy home. I just don't let clutter build up. And we've got to be the same way in our spirit man. We cannot let things clutter us down, bog us down, and hinder our walk from God and with God. Because sometimes those things become a hindrance to our development. They tie us down. We get stuff just ties us down. Doesn't it say in Hebrews, he said, lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the cross endured the cross because of, you know, Jesus was, there was something set in front of him. The cross was set in front of him. You know what's set in front of us? Glory. We don't have to go to the cross because he already did it for us. All we got set in front of us right now is the glory. The glory we can give him. The glory that we can have on us. His glory on the church. His glory is going to shine through these lives that he's allowed us to teach something to. Until we open up our hearts and let him teach us, we're not going to have the glory that he wants us to have. We just got to get us out of the way so more glory. So I saw a room that was just getting decluttered. You're making room for the King of glory. See, that's all set in front of me is the glory. Jesus endured because of the cross, but he also looked at the glory that was set in front of him. See, he saw the cross, but he also saw the glory, and he knew the glory that was going to be shown to us. That's who he's going to teach. The ones who are ready to set aside and say, I want the glory. I want your glory first. His glory. He's got to be the one I glorify. You know, I want to learn of him. I want to know him. I read the whole book of Philippians to you. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 and 10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want to read this in the Amplified. Verse 8. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ. That knowledge? We're talking knowledge now. Who's he going to teach? You'd get taught knowledge. So this overwhelming possession of knowledge to know him, Jesus Christ my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dredge, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One, that I may actually be found and known as in him, and having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own base on my obedience of the law's demand, ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God, this acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. And verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend. Let me read that again. Verse 12. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in any thing you be otherwise minded, God shall teach or reveal this even unto you. You see, God's ready to teach us, reveal to us. If you're teachable, he'll reveal it to you. He will teach you. He will show you exactly how to do what Paul did. There was a mark. He set a mark as a high mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this is what Paul did. He set a mark to know the glory, to know him personally, to know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, the power of his resurrection comes with knowing him as your Savior and him as your Lord, and knowing him and his all of his glory. The resurrection power is what we're supposed to walk in every day of our lives. This is a way of life to me. Living for Jesus and living with him is living an abiding life of resurrection life. In fact, if you look at Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Believe. This is resurrection power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is the resurrection power Paul's talking about, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if he's made everything, if made Jesus the head of everything, and everything's under his feet, and it says plainly that the body, The church is his body. Put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Well, are you in the church? Are you a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? I am. That means that everything has been put under my feet. Everything is under my feet. Then why do we walk around like the devil's always got this problem? We've always got that. He's going to usurp this. We're all going afraid of the devil. Remember, we hopeth all things, believeth all things. I can do all things through Christ. That's who the Lord is teaching. Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Oh, yes, sometimes it hurts. Oh, yes, sometimes I want to bawl and cry like a baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've done my bawling and my squalling. Yeah, I've done all that. But there's this powerful message that I cannot leave. I cannot walk away from the revelation that he wants to give me this kind of knowledge. He wants to teach me this. He wants to teach me how to walk in resurrection life. He wants to teach me walk in this kind of living for him. And I'll tell you how you get it. Let me just finish with this. This is exactly the way we are going to get it. Right here in Ephesians 1. When we begin to seek this with our whole heart, and God is, I've never had a prayer that he didn't answer. You know the old song, I never prayed a prayer that he couldn't answer. I never cried a tear that he couldn't dry. There's never been a problem in my life that the Lord never had a way of answering it. Do you know there's no problem big in your life that God can't fix? There literally is no problem too big for God. He's the God of the whole universe. Is there anything too hard for God? You are never going to have a problem that he doesn't have an answer for it. I'll guarantee you that. His word has got an answer for every problem. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse, read with me verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the glory, praise of his glory. Well, that's a whole mouthful. Let's just go back up to verse 12 and read this. That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. See what I say? What did I start out saying? There was a place I came to in my life where I was weaned from the milk and I was weaned from the breast, and I said, Lord, I just want to give you glory. I just want to give you glory in this life. I want my body, my feet, my hands, my legs, my being, my entity in this earth to give you glory. Let glory shine through me. Your glory, not my glory. Your glory. You can turn on the radio or television and hear all kinds of celebrities who have their own glory. There's glory out there in people's lives. You know, think about all the billionaires and millionaires and the entertainers and all the athletes and the people who have acclaimed a place and fame. But I'm talking about the glory that's in Christ. And I said, Lord, just let me have your glory. Well, that's who the ones he's going to teach. Knowledge, doctrine, things that will just blow your mind, he can show you. And then he says, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. I think we just read through scriptures and we do not hear what the Spirit is really saying to the church. Every individual person makes up the body. Just like your body has many, many parts. And every part in your body is a function to help the other part. We all are helping each other. We're a part of each other. We are literally a part of Him. And this is the glory. In whom, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvations, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, all he's just said, this is what I hear in the Spirit, is that he paid the price to possess you. He has already paid whatever was necessary to purchase you and me. The price, it's already been paid. He can't go back and pay any more for you. He's already paid the purchased possession for you, to own you. You belong to him. Now, you might keep running away, and you're not there to give him glory like you should be, but you still are supposed to do that. He owns you. He possessed you. He gave his life for you. He paid the price. You see this? Now, this is the glory. The earnest of our inheritance is all the promises, all the things that he's provided for us in the new birth, all the things that he wants to teach you, All the knowledge he wants to get over to you. All the understanding. But I'm telling you, he can't give you the roof until you get the walls up. He can't put the roof on top until you get some walls built. He can't put the cap on top until he gets some of those foundation laid. He's working on a building, and he's building a body that's going to give him glory. Your life individually is to give him glory. But he wants to put the roof on. Believe me, he wants to get the roof on your life. But he's still working on some ground stuff. Verse 15. Wherefore, because of all that, after I heard of your faith, you know, he's excited at this point. Oh my goodness. I heard about how you want to give him glory. I heard about how excited you are about laying a foundation for him and building a house for him. How do you got this earnest? He knows what he did for you. Paul has revelation in a way that very few ever, and I don't know if anyone in life has ever had the revelation Paul had. He wrote most of the New Testament, didn't he? So look what he says. I'm going to do this. He said, I'm going to cease not. Verse 16. I don't ever stop from this point on. I'm making the right kind of intercession for you. Now that you're ready, now that you're prepared, now that you've drawn from the milk, now that you've drawn from the breast, and now that you're ready to go on and to give him true glory for what he bought you for, he possesses you, he paid the price for you. This is what I'm going to pray, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding being enlightened may know. See, it's all about us having understanding and knowledge of him. You can't get this out of your head. You can't go to college. You can't go to any school and get this out of a class book. It doesn't come through a man's manual. You can't order this up on the internet. This only comes from the Spirit of God. He's got to give it to you through his Spirit. And you can be just walking along a grocery store one day, and all of a sudden you'll see something you never saw before. A light will come on. Revelation knowledge of something. God can drop into you in a split second what it could take somebody 100 years to learn. I'm telling you, a moment of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. The things that you've got in front of you to at least to do, I'm telling you, within a twinkling of an eye, boom, he can put it every bit of right of inside you. The revelation can come. Witty inventions come. He promises you witty inventions. Did you know that? Glory. That's glory. You see, the closer we walk in the glory, the more glory comes on us. And this is what, this keeps getting better. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you can know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And then it goes on, and we shared about which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and powers, and everything that even exists, he's above it all. And he did it for the church, which is his body. And it's all under our feet too. I was, what authority you have using the name of Jesus. I said, if I open a bank account and I've got money in that bank account, I go to the bank and I make a withdrawal. They're wanting to know whose name's on this account. And then I got to prove to them that I have access to that money, that it's in my name. Well, God just created a big old bank account in heaven. Heaven's got a huge bank account that's been set up for the body of Christ. And the body of Christ just is so dense about how to pull and make a withdrawal. They do not understand. They do not have the knowledge. They do not have the acquaintance. They are not acquainted with the power and the glory. Because for one thing, they've not set themselves aside to bring him glory. God wants to, you know, if you can't be trusted with a little, he can't trust you with much, that's for sure. But if he can trust you with little, he can also trust you with much. That's just the way it works. If he can trust you with a little, he can trust you with much. If he can't trust you with little, he can't trust you with much. But God wants us to have all, we have access to all these things in Christ. And so that's why Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians. And I started to say this a minute ago, that if you will every single day of your life just pray this prayer. I want to know God. I want to have wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Get my eyes of understanding enlightened. I want to know. Give me the capacity to know what is the hope of your calling in Christ. What is exceeding riches of the glory? What is the power that's working in me? And to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in me. You see, if I need something and I go to the bank and I know I've got $5,000 in that bank account, I think the most frustrating thing would be to have a bank teller say, I'm sorry, I can't pull that out for you because I don't recognize who you are. I'm sorry, I can't give you that money, ma'am. As much as I would like to, you might look like Teresa. You might look like her, and you might even sound like her, but until I can have proof that you are Teresa, I cannot give you this money. Ever anybody ever been to a bank and they wouldn't give you your money? And you know it's your money? But you ain't got no ID on you. Oh, you mean I can't just tell you that's who I am? Well, how about if you call my friend and tell them this is who I am? No, I'm sorry. We need a photo ID with your driver's license on it. And then we got proof that you're who you are. You know, Jesus is our proof that we're who we are. We're in him. And now we have access to everything he says we have. So when I go to the kingdom of heaven and I make a withdrawal out of my account, his account, really it's his account. I do it in the name of Jesus. What prayer is so powerful when you know? Because now you've taken his place. He's given us the power of attorney to use his name. And we don't have to have, that's our ID. That's our proof that we have faith in that name. Faith in that name activates. You ever have something that just wouldn't work? Keep pushing it in? Well, I tell you what activates anything you need in heaven is the name of Jesus. Faith in that name. His glory. Praise God. But that's what I heard this morning. I kept hearing that this morning. And then when I was praying and worshiping God, same scripture. Who will the Lord teach? Who will the Lord teach wisdom? Who will the Lord teach knowledge? Who will the Lord teach doctrine? And this is the word today. This is our word for our body, our church. And not everybody could sit in this church and hear this word. Not weaned yet. They're still hanging on to the breast. They're still big baby Christians. Bow wow babies. They couldn't swallow it. They couldn't even get it. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Aren't you glad you're not a baby Christian? I really believe if you're in this church, you're not a baby. And I'll tell you something else the Lord showed me as I was working on this new area down here. I could see all these churches. I could see all these communities here. Of people that aren't going to church. And all these people that are just, there's people that aren't even church at all. But they're coming. Because there's going to be a crisis and a time in this life, in this earth. It's going to become a time when things are not going to be easy and padded and comfortable anymore. And they're going to need God. But we're going to have an answer for them. We're going to know how to access the things of the kingdom. We're going to have ability to pray. And we're going to know things because we've been studying. We've been preparing. We've been getting ready. I really believe there is a time coming when we're going to need. This will be a storehouse for people that have a place to come. And you'll be a part of the storehouse. Do you all see the vision there? I do. Because we're taking time to get ready. We're storing up right now for things that are coming. Father, I seal this word this morning, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.